From the world of AV programming and control with James King, I'm Steve Greenblatt, and this is Ask the Programmer. James, I'm glad we're back together. It's been a little bit. I took a detour to ISE, and unfortunately, we couldn't record together, but we're back, and I'm glad that we're back to our normal routine. How are you?
Doing good, Steve, and I'm glad you had fun at ISC. Maybe one of these years I'll get out there, but I don't see it coming anytime soon. And how are you doing?
I'm doing better. ISC was a great show. Fortunately, I got a little sick afterwards, so you might be able to hear my voice. But I'm working my way back, and I'm glad that we're here and we're chatting again. And as far as ISC, I saw certainly the HEPMA contingent there, and they certainly seemed to fit in well and had a good time. So hopefully that you could be a part of it in the future. I know that. That's something that it seems to be growing, but
Yeah, the HEPMA present is definitely growing. I really think where my hesitation with ISC is, and I've said this to other people, is even it's the time of the year that it is. Even if I could get approval from work to go, I have work sponsor it, pay for the trip. Like, even if I can get all those ducks in a row, I can't leave my wife that long, my kids that long. I can't bring my wife because the kids are in school. I know Brittany say, hey, you can make it work. I know she did it. We just don't see it happening in our situation. So I just think right now there's no way I can make that swing.
I totally get it. Totally understand. And I had to do some special arrangements here as well. So it's a great show for anybody who wants to learn more about it, reach out. It's certainly, it is a show in Europe, and it's in Barcelona, and it's, but it really feels very natural, and it doesn't feel very foreign. And there's a lot of differences between ISE and Infocom, all positive. And it's something that I would recommend if anybody was interested in attending or learning more about it. Please reach out. But for today, we'll kind of get back to our chatting about things that pertain to programmers and some of the typical situations and challenges we run up against. And I would say that this one is evergreen, and it's probably been something that has been talked about since the beginning of everyone doing programming. And it's how do you establish and manage client expectations? And I think in particular, you could have a really good perspective on this because you can talk from both sides of the fence. But this is an interesting discussion because it requires a lot of finesse and people skills and understanding more than just writing code and doing programming and the technical side of things. It requires a little bit more of the people side. So I guess if you want to open up a little bit, I know that you certainly, when you were doing primarily programming, you had a client to serve, even though you were working at a university, but now you also have, you can talk from the client side in terms of how to work with programmers that you hire. So are there some either rules of thumb or some advice you would give to people that are approaching this?
Yeah, I would say the best is have an open mind. And when you're dealing with your client, I'm sure everyone is aware of this, but I don't see it in practice too much, is don't think about the program. Don't think about the hardware. Think about what the space will be used for. Like I always, when I've been having meetings with my clients and talking to them, I always use the phrase, what does success look like? If they're telling me they want a classroom, I'll be like, what does a successful class look like? Or I want a conference room. Okay, what does a successful meeting look like? Once we know what they're looking to achieve, the tech is easy. That's easy to put together. I also know with clients is you give them options, they're going to say yes. And then when they give the bill, they're going to freak out. So you don't need to give them the everything in the kitchen stink. You want to drive the conversation because if you let the client really dictate where you go, they're going to get lost because they don't understand the full functionality, the full scope. So really getting what their goal is with the space and then being like, okay, here's your goal. Here's the best way achieving that. Because, for example, say it was the meeting room and they're like, well, I'm on a 10-inch panel. Or let's, I'll use something crazy. I want a 20-inch touch panel. Why do you want a 20-inch touch panel if it's a conference room where all you're doing is displaying stuff on display? Like, you can get away with a 7-inch panel. Like, you don't have to buy the 20-inch. Yes, I am sure our salespeople would love to sell the 20-inch panel over a 7-inch panel, but it's not what the client needs.
So, along those lines, one of the things I like to talk about is when a client says the things that they want, in a nice way, challenge them, because it's not that you won't give them what they're asking for, but make sure that they understand the impact of what they're asking for. So, like you're saying, is it going to be very costly? Is it going to make this more complex? Is it going to be a limitation down the road that they're not thinking about? I think it is our responsibility to bring our experience to the table and not always do what they are asking for, but help guide them. And I think in the best way possible, let them come to the conclusion about what they want with a little bit of help and a little bit of shepherding down the road so that they don't get too far off course. And I think what you said too, in terms of budgets and stuff, that's probably the hardest part is, you wanting to give them everything and you want to be able to be accommodating, and most programmers do, but understanding the budget, and also especially when something has been established, once an order has been established, being able to stay within the boundaries that have been established under that contract.
That brings up a good question, Steve, that you might be able to address or understand, because I could probably hear a lot of our listeners yelling at the radio right now, going, I don't get to choose the equipment. I don't get to talk to the user. I'm giving what the salesperson gives me, and this is the box I'm in. How can a programmer, still be that voice for the client and make sure that the goal is achieved when they're put in a box like that?
I think that's an age-old question, and I'll tell you what I've liked to see and what I have seen before. And it was, I think I may have talked about this on this show on a previous episode, but I many years ago I had a client, happened to be a university, who came to us and they said, "We want to work with you. We have a certain vision, and we want to come up with a standard of how we want our systems to work and a user interface that we're comfortable with." And we said, "Okay, tell us the how the system is designed and what equipment you're going to use." And they said, "I that is irrelevant. I want to tell you what I want the system to do and what I want and how and what our needs are. And we're going to design how the system's going to work. And then we're going to pick equipment that supports that." And that was, it was really a turning point when I did that. Had that conversation, and this light bulb went off, because it was the first time I ever had somebody approach it that way. But I really think that that is the right way. If you look at this functionality of the system as being the most important part, and making the system easy to use as being a primary goal, then that should be what we work on first, and make and the design support it. Now, answering your question, because I know that you can't snap your fingers and just change the way our business works. I think the key element is to try to work with a client and get them to understand what is possible and what is not. And maybe if it's something that they want that is outside of the range of what you can offer within the system, it will be something, a future add or option. But with somebody who's level-headed, as long as you offer them what they can and can't have, I think that that's probably the best way of approaching it. It's a tough conversation to have, though.
Tough conversations are definitely hard to have, and I'm learning that one with some projects I've been on where I would just say I don't feel they're fully baked. And yeah, so it's definitely sometimes I think getting that, being that voice of reasoning and being that, not getting strong arm is it's something new for me to learn.
Part of it too is I think kind of general sales and making sure that both the client and the programmer or the integrator, they're all kind of working together to achieve the same outcome. It isn't trying to say, I don't want to do this because it's going to make more work for me, or I don't want to do this because it's going to be more costly, but more so, let's work together to make this successful so that we both can win. And I think that if you establish that trust and they realize that you're here for them, you want to give them as much as possible that you can, and you want to help them achieve their goals. So when you do have to say no, they'll respect you for it. Ian Altman is a salesperson, a sales trainer that I follow, and he talks about same side selling. It's kind of one of those the one of the core techniques that he hangs his hat on with regard to what his belief. He said talks about having to break down that raw wall so they realize that you're here for them, and you want to help them achieve what they want. It's not an adversarial relationship.
Oh yeah, and building that relationship and building that connection with people is very key. Like a little side tangent on that. Like I remember reading about a life insurance salesman, and he became one of the best ones in his business, and so he had someone shadowing him, and the person shadowing him found it interesting when they would go to a customer's house. They would sit down, and right away, the salesperson be like, wouldn't sell anything. He's like, hey, I forgot something in my car. Can I go out and get it real quick while you guys look this over? And they're like, yeah, sure, no problem. And he will come back in. And after doing that a while, the shadow asked him, like, why are you doing that? Like, why don't you bring this up in right away? You know you need it. And he's like, at first the salesperson didn't want to give his secret away, but then he finally said is if they trust you enough to enter their house freely, they're gonna trust you enough to sell buy anything from you. So that him leaving and being able to come back in without them letting him in was building that trust.
Wow,
So
that's
building that trust is very key, I think. So yeah, the same size selling is another way of building that trust, that the clients know that you are trying to achieve the goal they're trying to get.
in situations for me that have worked well is also having the relationship of getting to know a client. And in the first couple projects, there that's where you're going to have a lot more of that getting to know each other phase, and you're going to have to work a little bit harder, and you're going to have to earn trust, and you're going to have to put in a little bit of extra. But hopefully, then it becomes more smooth sailing. And if you look at the value of the whole relationship, it'd be worth putting in the time in the beginning to establish that rapport and you know get the foundational stuff down, because I think it gets a lot easier. At least I've found in my experience that when you continue to work with the client, you almost don't even have to speak because you know what they want. They just tell you, okay, remember this one. Now we're just going to add this, or we want to evolve it in this way. And there's that trust there.
100%. And that trust is probably what's the most important part.
And part of that also is involves the programmer being at the table, which we talk about a lot too. So you can't introduce a programmer late in the game and expect that they're going to be able to come in and have that comfort level. If they're coming in too late, they're just worried about getting the project done. And also, if you're switching programmer from project to project, that also is not helping anybody, because I know nobody wants to repeat themselves, and I'm sure that you would get very frustrated if you had to work with a different programmer every time and have to re-educate them on everything. Because you're making an investment in them, just like they're making an investment in you.
Oh yeah, and I mean, just today I had a call with programmers who are working on a project, and I realized like they need the information to be able to achieve what they're trying to do to achieve my goals. It was information I didn't provide to them yet, so I wanted to make sure it was clear to them what they needed to know. And if I had to explain that over and over to different programmers, it's a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah, and you get frustrated. But if they came back in the next project and they were thinking ahead and they said, "Hey, I know what James wants. This is what we talked about before. I'm going to do it this way." And they're starting to make your life easier. I think that's the recipe to success.
Yeah, definitely. We always got to make our clients' lives easier. That's one of the reasons why we became programmers, is make things easier for other people. We do the
Absolutely.
hard work.
Well, I think that's probably a good place on an up note for us to wrap this one up. But I think it's a good conversation, and it's something that all programmers face, and I think it's part of a learning process. So hopefully what we discussed today is very helpful, and we certainly will talk more about it, or you could reach out to us. If you want some more tips or insight, James, how can people get in touch with you and learn what you're up to?
Best way to get in touch with me is on Twitter, AV_JamesKing. LinkedIn, I'm on there. Anything with Hetma, again, Google me, you'll find me.
And for me, you can reach me at Steve Greenblatt on social media. My company, Control Concepts, is at controlconcepts.net. And most importantly, check us out here on Ask the Programmer. We're on YouTube. We have audio on your favorite podcast player. We have a X or Twitter handle called AV Programmer Pod. You can follow that as well. But reach out to us. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to do more topics that are relevant to the trending needs and concerns of programmers. We'd also like to have some guests on. So let us know what you think. Reach out if you want to be part of the show. And if you listen to some of the recent episodes, we've had several different people on in different aspects of the industry, and a lot of them telling their stories about their AV journey. So I think that's kind of neat as well. But with that's all we have for today. And this has been Ask the Programmer.